Hello and welcome to Tip TV Finance and me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Meir. And joining us in the studio is John Mills, the chairman of JML. John, it's good to have you with us today.
Nice to be back.
Now, I wanted to start with a story that broke earlier in the week, and this is about Lloyds banning drinking in the daytime or at lunchtime for its employees. And as a chairman of a massive company, I wanted your opinion on this. Are you letting your employees going out for lunch and having a pint, or are you against that?
Well, we don't have draconian rules against going out and have a drink at lunchtime, but I must say we don't encourage it. I don't think you improve productivity in the afternoon by drinking at lunchtime.
Yes, but the problem with that is that I think it's Lloyds of London, and the rule is not for the executives, let's say. It's for the little people. They're not allowed to drink, but the people are doing all the important deal making.
Well, a lot of deal making are done over a boozy lunch, isn't it? So they can't stop that.
So it's a little bit of a it's a little bit unfair, I think.
I think there's an element of truth in all that, but I do think actually one of the problems about having draconian rules about this is that you then do tread on reasonable social engagements and where deals are made and this kind of thing. And, you know, sometimes having a drink does lubricate getting a deal.
It's also rather patronising. I think the person should be able to make their own decision and they should know better than getting drunk at lunchtime. But, you know, if they think they can handle a drink, then that's up to them, surely.
Up to a point. I really don't think you improve productivity by drinking at lunchtime.
I know your point, Zach. You're drunk now. It's why you're smiling.
Yes, exactly. Champagne and smoked salmon.
Right, let's move on to the slides. So Yahoo and Verizon are said to be near a cheaper deal. That's according to the New York Times. Any thoughts on that, John?
No, it's more consolidation in that area. I wonder if it will finish up by being cheaper at the end of the day. Some of the history of takeovers like this is that there's promises of reductions in charges which actually don't materialise. I think we'll have to see.
Okay, let's move on. So Goldman Sachs shares hit 10-year high as Donald Trump fills teams with the bank's former employees, and that's according to The Independent. So Donald Trump making the news again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at what's happened in America since Donald Trump was elected, the stock exchange has gone up by 10% or more to over 20,000 now. There is quite a lot of optimism around on the economy because of extra spending on infrastructure and relaxation of bank lending rules and all this sort of thing. So in the short term, I think this comment is probably justified. Mm. Whether this will hold out in the longer term, I think is going to be the really big question.
Mm. What did anybody else think of this idea of lowering taxes, getting rid of red tape, being more pro-business? I mean, you know, is it just because he's a businessman and politicians were in charge before?
Partly, but the history of deregulating banks has not been a very happy one. I mean, Dodd-Frank is now under review, but with the Glass-Steagall division between banks that were involved in kind of speculation and the ones who just provided services to the public. You know, when that was abolished, I think that led up to the 2008 crash.
So we had a big bang here in 86, which was the big change here.
Yeah.
And I suppose it took 10 years, well, maybe 20 years for the everything to, all the nasties to come out of that. Things went too far.
I think that's right. I mean, Glass-Steagall went under Clinton, I think about 1997, 98, something like that. That was 10 years before the crash. But that certainly, I think, encouraged the secondary market and the spending. The lending boom, the credit boom that took place in the 2008s. I think you've got to be careful about bank deregulation.
Mm. Okay, let's move on to the next slide. So data from France today shows unemployment running at 10% in Q4 in 2016, a barely discernible reduction from the 10.5% peak in Q3 in 2015 and 2014, and exactly the same level it was 5 years ago. Note that the data is collected quarterly, not monthly, possibly in an attempt not to depress the nation more frequently than necessary. Zach, you're laughing.
I like the social responsibility. I think it's a good move to do that. But I also think that Marine Le Pen is on her way. It'd be almost impossible for her to be stopped on that populist ticket.
Well, I think that's right. Whether she's going to win the election, I think it's another matter. But I'm sure this sort of high level of unemployment does feed support for her. I mean, the situation right across the EU is dreadful on unemployment. I mean, it's bad enough in France, but it's worse still in the Southern Europe countries. Something like 25% of all employees in Greece and 50% of young people. I mean, these unemployment figures are terrible. I think they are feeding the populist kind of revolution which is sweeping across Europe.
I think the other thing with that is that, you know, the countries are affected, young people leave. And that also disrupts the societies there. So you just have, you know, the older people there. You don't have, you know, growth being built for tomorrow or infrastructure being built for tomorrow.
I think that's right. And if you look at the investment in Greece, for example, I mean, it's incredibly low. And this is storing up problems for the future. You're never going to get productivity up. You're never going to get the Greek economy to be able to pay its way in the world like this. It'll just bleed and bleed. And this is a terrible outcome.
Mm. OK, let's move on. So the economic calendar, not a great deal happening there, but we have the ECB monetary policy meeting account. John, anything catching your eye that we should really look out for?
I don't think anything particular there. I don't know what the ECB monetary policy meeting accounts are going to come out with.
The minutes, I think, of the last meeting.
I mean, but ECB is still very much involved with quantitative easing, piling up debts.
It's worked so well.
Well, it pushed up asset prices, and that pushed up consumption. It didn't actually do anything much to get the economies in America or in the UK or in Europe in better shape with investment.
Okay, let's move on. So, Zach, this is your chart.
Yeah, more people going into, I suppose the big pluses there, going to the pound and dollar Canadian, a bit more into the euro as well. Otherwise, it's rather flat. And gold, even though gold is rising, that's still 64% is rather less than it's been for most of the last year.
Okay, moving on to the chart. So the chart of the day.
Well, just again, highlighting gold. $1,245 an ounce is the key resistance there. You can see that there on the chart. A golden moving average crossover, by definition, a positive signal. Let's see whether it works better than the negative one that we had at the end of last year, which was a false signal.
Okay, the next one, I think, trade of the day, and we're looking at Sports Direct.
Well, it's been in a dire situation, almost a tragicomedy, I think, in the recent past. But sell around 297, objective 280, 306 is the stop loss. I think few would disagree with a sell signal on there and a sell idea on Sports Direct at the moment. Lots of problems there.
Okay, and our last slide. So broker recommendations, what should we be keeping an eye out for?
Well, Morrisons, I still think they're going from strength to strength. There's a recovery situation. The new guy there doing a great job. I can't remember his name at the moment, but still doing a great job. And that fact, the tie with Ocado, where they were part of their distribution arm, is also, I think, that was one of the deals of the last couple of years on the stock market. So fantastic there. Revolution Bars Group, very trendy place. I know nothing about it because I'm old, but apparently the company doing well at the moment.
Super, Zach. Thank you. John, thank you. So that was John Mills there, the chairman of JML. And coming up now, our proactive investor shares of the day.